you need three things to make business happen. Okay, you've got to have a product or a service.
Right.
Okay, you've got to have a group of customers, and then you've got to have a process that communicates to that audience.
Vanish, it's Michael Sinoff.
Hey Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. Yeah. What are we going to talk about today?
What I'd like to probably talk about is some more joint venture stuff, and I'd like to pick your brain on some of the stuff you've done. And
let's talk about joint venture, because I think one of the interesting things I find is that as you spend more and more time becoming a master and student of marketing, the less you worry about actually owning the product. And one of the things I think I previously may have said this to you or in a previous chat we've had is that, you know, in essence, what I know is this. You need three things to make business happen. Okay, you've got to have a product or a service.
Right.
Okay, you've got to have a group of customers, and then you've got to have a process that communicates to that audience. Okay?
Yeah.
I think one of the big things that people forget is those three separate things, you do not need to own them to make business happen.
Right.
Yeah? So what often happens is if we take in the, for example, in the information product arena, people feel that they have to write the product to be able to sell it. You know, they have to own and go out and get their own customers to be able to sell their own product.
Yeah, why is that? I mean, it's like we're brainwashed into thinking, and it never occurs to us that this just doesn't have to happen. What do you think it is that makes us automatically believe that we have to create it, that we have to get our customers? Is it something that, is it an ego thing where we want to be in control, or what?
I think partially it's a knowledge thing. Because what happens is this, if I said to you, Michael, right, the product that you are going to go out and make money on is in the movement of cars, you wouldn't even bother going out trying to build your own car.
Right.
Because the amount of capital and expertise and everything, you know, the barrier to entry in the car market, that's why there's only a few car manufacturers. Because you need millions and millions of pounds, and you need lots and lots of expertise to be able to go out and build your own car. The problem with something like an info product or a small, you know, service type business is it's relatively easy to enter that market. Yeah, you know, to become an author is in your set expertise. You know, write a few pages and produce it. It's relatively easy, and people fall into the trap of becoming a publisher or an author first and not becoming a publisher.
Right.
One of the interesting things to think about is that what you find a lot of times is you find people are forgetting which activity is actually producing the best results. Yeah? In terms of, you can be very busy in business, but, you know, if you sit down in the bare essence and say, well, what activity actually produces me money?
Right.
Yeah? And the activity that actually produces you money is getting the product in front of the customer, okay, and explaining its features, benefits, etc. That's the sales or the marketing process. And 90% of business activity is spent delivering, maintaining, and doing all of that. Yeah? So, for example, if we take a good example, is let's just take a real simple concept, the restaurant business.
Okay.
Okay? We understand what the product or service is. It's food. Okay? Assume the restaurant is good at producing its food.
Okay.
If I wanted to make money out of, you know, a very simple statistic, okay, here in the UK, 40% of the average person's weekly spend on food is on takeaways or restaurants.
Okay.
Yeah? So you can imagine, I mean, have you been to a restaurant in the last 30 days?
Yes.
Right, okay. And pretty much everybody has been to the restaurant in, a restaurant in the last 30 days.
Sure.
Okay? So there is money being spent. Now, if you can channel it through ventures that you're dealing with, you get to keep a slice of it.
Right.
Now, for me, if I was going to say, right, I want to make money out of the food business, the restaurant business, I have to locate a property, build my restaurant, go through it, recruit, you know, appropriate staff that can cook the food, do all of that, pay their wages. A lot of hassle, okay? What I find is this, is the easiest way to make money is to find the three processes separately and then do a joint venture deal. The reason is this. The person that's producing, running the restaurant, is usually very good at serving customers. Okay? They're very good at taking customers that walk in, step into the premises, and going from that point to the point where the person parts with money. What they're not very good at is getting people to come in. Right? So their weakness is marketing process, and their second weakness is audience, having customers. The only customers they get is through a little bit of advertising that they may do or whatever. Okay? So what happens is that I can go to somebody that's established a restaurant, review the business, see that the product's good, okay, assess it, and then I can go and approach that person and simply say this. Okay? I understand you deliver a good product. What I'd like to do is show you a way whereby we can deliver more customers for you. Okay?
Okay.
And it's not going to require very much of your time. Because all you have to do is find an audience, okay, and find somebody that's got a lot of customers but hasn't got much product.
Right.
So often what I would do, for example, in this case, generally I find somebody that's got a big audience, okay, and got some loyalty and some connection, and get the two to kind of effectively meet up. Yeah? And by doing that, what I've got is I've got a customer base now that's got another product. Yeah? So,
okay.
For example, in the case of the restaurant business, a very simple thing to do is to go and find another business that has got a loyal customer base and say, we can supply you another product, okay, which you can then communicate to your audience base and you can make some extra revenue, but you won't have to deal or manage with that product. So do you see where I'm coming from, Michael?
Yes, I do. And I hear it all the time, it's matching the product to the market.
Well, the trick is actually to find people that have got good products but lack an audience, and then find people that have a product, okay, with a very large audience but lack product.
Right.
Okay. So the typical case I have is where I find people with a very large customer base, okay, but maybe only a few products are publishing.
Okay.
My background, okay, is I'm actually what's classed as a business angel or an angel investor, which is I invest in startup companies, growth companies, companies that are getting going.
Okay.
I typically see around 200 businesses a year, okay, and we see everything, food companies to manufacturing companies to advertising companies. So what that has enabled me to do is over time, I've been able to see lots and lots of different types of businesses, okay? What I find now is that through that experience, you see lots of inefficiencies. Yeah?
Yeah.
Generally, what you will find is somebody, like in the manufacturing end, is very good at serving customers, but they're not very good at getting their audience or communicating to an audience base. You see other organizations that have lots and lots of customers, but what they don't have is they have a very thin product line. Yeah? If you imagine McDonald's, if all it did was burgers, okay,
mm-hmm.
What's the level of that business going to be? It's relatively easy for me to come along and say, you know, do you think your customers would like some fries or perhaps maybe a milkshake?
Right.
Yeah. That's the trick of finding somebody that's already got a customer base. They're usually one product orientated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or they've got a handful of products. By introducing another product, you can relatively quickly increase the sale. Yeah. Rather than go like the original manufacturer will do is he'll go and make his product and then try to find individually customers one by one, which is very time consuming and very capital intensive, it's much better to go and find somebody that's already got a big established customer base and some form of relationship with them.
Okay.
And then when you put that person's product in front of them, okay, there's going to be a higher uptake, alright, and there's going to be less effort. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Do this. This is very helpful. I think from my experiences, I'm asking myself, okay, let's say I find a guy or a business with tons of customers, and then I have an idea for a product. How do I approach this guy in the simplest way possible? What am I going to say to him to get his attention? Give me three or four examples of openings that I can call this guy on the phone or in an email message say to him that's going to get his attention.
Well, usually what you'll generally find is that somebody, if you've done your research well, will have a large audience base and maybe a handful of products. Let's say two or three. Yeah. So what you go to the individual is you basically contact them and just say to them very simply, okay, how would you like to make an extra £1,000 a month from your existing customer base?
Okay.
And usually what you'll get back is a couple of questions like, well, how? Okay. And very simply, I say, I have sourced a product which I believe your customer base will be very interested in. Okay. I can supply it to you. All right. All you've got to do is communicate that message to them, and you will get a cut. You will not have to deal with any of the handling of the product. Okay, I can arrange another company to do that. So therefore, what you've done is you said to the person, basically, I'm going to give you a product, you promote it, and I'll get somebody else to deal with the order fulfillment.
Okay.
So he's going to then ask, well, what's the product, what's the price, the quality? And then you can just go through telling them about the other business, the product, the quality. And if you've done your homework well, you should find that that product, okay, will be a good match.
Okay.
It takes that much research to know whether it's a good product. You've only got to do like a test sampling. Like the restaurant, we could say, right, you've got 10,000 customers that would be interested in going to the set of restaurants. Well, simply, all you do is you would arrange for that CEO to go and visit the restaurant for free, try out the product, see what he feels, okay? And then you'll get him to say, yes, you feel that's the product that your customers would be interested in, and you'll get a yes or a maybe or, you know, there might be a price sensitivity or whatever. Now, this is the thing that really amazes me. I've just put two people together, okay? They could then go off and just do their own deal, couldn't they?
Yes, they could.
But what you find is this, is the ability to market and deal with all the promotion and everything, most CEOs don't have the time, right? They'd much rather handle it with somebody else.
Right.
Okay? So what I can do is I can get both parties interested and accept each other as business owners and say, yes, we'd like to do business with each other. But then the third bit, which I told you, which is the marketing process.
Yeah.
Which is the bit that you can add that where you bring the value in, is saying, I can show you how you can promote this project in the best light to give you the maximum yield. You can have your own go, okay, and you'll most probably generate this amount of income, right? But being a student of marketing, you know how to create a higher yield, to get more depth penetration, and to have more repeat sales. So then you simply say to them, well, we're going to generate this extra revenue. Have you got an issue if I take a slice? And most people would say, great, you're going to generate more money for me, I'm going to give you a cut, and you're going to manage it all.
Right.
I don't have to do very much. All I've got to do is say, do I approve with that product or not? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So an example that I've done recently is I've got a company that has a large readership.
Okay?
Okay. Now, in the publishing world, most of the income is made from advertising.
This is, now we're talking about a website.
That's right, website. So that's advertising with banner advertising or site sponsorship, or whatever. I approached the company and I asked them and I said, you know, what activities are you doing? How are you generating your revenue? And basically they had four or five ways in which they were making money from their readership. Okay? So I said to them, I've got three products which I can put into your organization, okay, and I can show you a way whereby we can increase another three products which will, with my estimation, will generate this amount of extra revenue. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What happened here was, this is an interesting aspect. This is an online website, so everything that it's doing is doing through advertising or online deliverables. What I did was I sourced three offline products. Okay? These are products that effectively are deliverable in the normal way of business. Yeah? Most online companies are focusing on trying to do everything online.
Okay? Right.
So what I did was I sourced a couple of very simple products that would be interesting to that readership. I then sat down with the MD and showed them how they could do the marketing, etc., and the processes and what they can generate. I sourced three suppliers, which I had relationships previously before, and they'd worked out what their pricing was. Okay, and a very simple deal was whatever goes through the till, okay, I'll take 10%.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, what do I have to do? I just have to get one company to manufacture the product, which they're already doing, and they're experts in that. Okay. I got the MD of that company to check that the quality of the product was fine and that he was happy with it. I created the sales copy and the marketing method for which the publisher would then promote the product.
Okay.
And that added value because we're able to show how just doing a simple method would generate this amount, but if they sat down and thought about developing a good process, they could double or treble the amount of volume that was being generated. Yeah? And
mm-hmm.
for that, I get a simple 10% between the two. Yeah?
Okay.
Now, in terms of effort, how much effort is there actually involved? Once that deal is set up, okay, in terms of the way that the contract is written, okay, I get 10% of whatever goes through that business between those two relationships.
Ongoing.
The whole thing took about 1 month, 6 weeks to set up.
And that's an ongoing residual.
That's ongoing, okay, and all of that was done out of my house, yeah? I didn't need to have an office, I didn't need to, you know, set up very much. In effect, I had three meetings, okay, one with the MD and each of the individual suppliers, okay? Then we sent a few emails back and forth, left, right, and center. Now, I'll give you an example of the kind of product that we did.
Okay.
Okay. To give you the idea of how simple it is. Okay?
Okay.
Very simple. This company, that the publishing company, is an online IT news service.
Are there a lot of these online publishing companies out there?
There's tons.
And what is their biggest weakness?
Their biggest weakness is that the only revenue stream that they have, okay, is online advertising.
And how is the online advertising revenue streams on this day and age in the marketplace?
Well, at the moment, advertising as a general market is down, okay? And so is online advertising down.
Okay.
But the thing that is interesting is obviously, you know, with your hard-to-find seminars, Jay Abraham has a very simple philosophy, okay? He always talks about building income streams. Okay, having different avenues in which you can generate income.
Right.
Most businesses that I see have maybe one, maybe two forms of income. Okay, they may have different names for the ways that they do it. In for example, online advertising, whether you do a banner advertising or an email link or whatever, it's all the same form of advertising.
Right.
Your money is coming from one audience, yeah, which is your advertiser. Okay, there's only so much that you're going to be able to generate. There's only so much that you can get. So by going to these people and saying, hey, we can add another income stream, another way of generating some money, okay, it's very simple, okay? You've got a company X that's doing news, okay? In the printed press, obviously, the easiest way is to put adverts in for products and services. So you go to advertisers.
Right.
Yeah? What I did was I went to a company and said, here's a very simple thing, okay? I can source very cheaply mouth mats for your audience, okay? They've got X thousands of readers coming every day to the site looking at news. I said, very simple, we'll create a little store, okay, and we'll do some touchy-feely products. Everything else that they've been doing was just by, you know, banner, advertising, sponsorship, etc. Yeah? And I had a company that manufactured mouse mats, worked out the costing, the pricing, put the two together, and they set up an online store, and they sell those. Okay? And obviously, we could go into some other products, so we did some t-shirts, okay, done a few other products in that nature. Yeah? So do you see how, by just finding products for another audience, or finding a manufacturer of a product and saying, right, let me go and find you the audience, okay, how you could make some extra income.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Now, in terms of the kind of things that you've done, yeah, one of the things I think that's always very interesting is that a lot of people are always trying to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
Yeah? If you had a choice, what would you rather have? Would you rather have customers? Would you have a great product? Or would you like to have an excellent marketing process?
An excellent marketing process.
My suggestion is an excellent marketing process.
Right.
Because you can always find somebody else that's got customers.
That's true.
And you can always find somebody else that's got an excellent product.
That's true.
Yeah? The key is having the process.
Yeah.
And you know, what people are spending too much time in trying to create income and create wealth is they're going out trying to create an excellent product.
Right.
Or they're trying to create a big market, trying to create a big customer base. But somebody else has already got it.
Yeah, it's right under your nose.
Exactly. There is a customer. You're already a customer of somebody else's business. Right? There's already somebody else that's created, that spent 3 years developing a fantastic product. Okay?
Yeah.
What you find is this, is if you've got an excellent marketing process, okay, you can profit from all of that activity.
Right.
By just doing it on a bigger volume. Alright? You have to find somebody with a big audience base. You find a couple of product manufacturers that audience base hasn't addressed, and you put the two together. And then you just take a slice of what happens in between. And because the customer base is trusted by whoever owns that customer base, yeah, the ability to use the marketing process is much higher.
Right.
You're not having to cold sell someone your idea. If they're a customer of some other business, then product number two is relatively easy to sell. All you've got to do is provide product number two. Do the hard work of finding the first product to sell to. Yeah? Products 2, 3, and 4 are the ones that are easiest to sell. Yeah? You've got customers for your pens.
Correct.
Yeah? Okay? So you've got an already established customer base of people that are purchasing your pens. Okay?
Right.
Let's assume you've got a big database of people that buy pens from you on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's relatively easy for me to approach you now and say, I've got another product that I think would fit your audience. Okay? What I'll do is I'll supply it to you. Okay? So all you've got to do is market it. We'll provide you the marketing material and the strategy. Okay? And follow that through. And all we ask is we get 10% of whatever goes through your business.
I do it in a heartbeat because I mail to my customers so few times, and yeah, I'm just waiting for someone to approach me and say that.
Exactly. Because what happens is this, is you can only spend so much time talking about your own product.
Right.
Okay? The reason that Walmart, okay, is the largest retailer.
I want to thank you for listening. This is Michael Sinoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. If you want to get in touch with any of the people we interview, please email me at Michael@HardToFindSeminars.com. That's Michael@HardToFindSeminars.com. H-A-R-D as in dog, T-O-F-I-N-D-S-E-M-I-N-A-R-S.com. You can reach me by phone at 1-800-982-6487 or 858-274-6487. 1-800-982-7851. That's 1-800-982-6487 or 858-274-7851. And anyone listening, if they want to be interviewed, please contact me.
If Walmart has thousands of people approaching them to say, you've got this fantastic audience base, all right, we would like to put your product through there.
That's exactly right.
Now, obviously, Walmart will demand a high rate of return and everything, you know, the amount that you as the person that's in between, okay, is likely to make very little in between. But you can find the Walmart equivalent of an audience base and get a decent deal, all right? It doesn't take that much to go and find somebody with a complementary product.
That's a great example. That's a great example, Walmart. There's an example with a business with tons of customers, and all they're doing is joint ventures with every single product in that store.
Exactly. And what Walmart do is they simply have open days for manufacturers. Okay, come in, show us your wares, and we'll talk about price. Okay, and they are the fantastic example of the joint venture, because Walmart doesn't actually have to produce anything. Okay, it's got manufacturers knocking on its doors, and it just says, right, we'll take that product because that's one that's going to address our audience, and we're going to pay you this. You want to take the deal, yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now if you imagine that's what Walmart can do with its large audience, okay, you can find below the level of that, you know, much smaller, okay, people that have got that audience base, but they've only got one or two products, okay, and they're so busy running that business, serving those handful of products, they haven't even sat down and thought about product three, product four. One of the things is if you're in, for example, in the information publishing business, okay, most of the people that are in information publishing, okay, produce a product.
Right.
They do not produce a product pipeline. Okay? In the music business, okay, it's the old classic seven-year deal, isn't it? Seven albums over 7 years.
Right.
Okay? So that's the requirement of the band. Because the publisher doesn't want to produce an album. They want to produce seven albums over 7 years to churn it out. Because once someone's a fan of a band, right, they're going to buy the next album and then the next one and so on.
Mm-hmm.
In information publishing, most people write a book, and then they spend 2 years, you know, setting up the website, selling it, blah, blah, blah. They never get around to writing product beats.
Right.
So all I do is I find someone that's done a great product, and I say, hey, I can get you product beats. And what do? I pick somebody else's product.
Right.
I put it into the pipeline, and hey, presto, I take a cut in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All you've got to do is review good markets, so you've got to find big audiences, and then find appropriate products, okay? Which is, you know, just becoming, in effect, their personal shopper. Yeah? It doesn't take that much work to know that that audience base is going to like those products. So that's what I do now, okay? I mean, I do some other activity and investments, etc. But it's a very simple thing to do, and you can do these joint ventures for years and years.
All right, let's talk about, once you have someone who's interested, let's talk about some more of the details about a contract. Do you sign a complicated contract? Is it a simple agreement? What are some of the things to caution about when you want to, you know, get everything written down and, you know, to protect yourself? What's your philosophy on that part of the business?
My philosophy is the first contract is more a moral one. Is the person that you're dealing with someone you like to deal with?
Okay.
If they're a good character, okay, and you get a good vibe, and they're interested in your ideas, and they're open to your suggestions, okay, then the contract you have to write, relatively speaking, is very simple and it will work. Okay? If they're the type of person that's not going to disclose much information about their business, okay, then that's usually an early warning signal for me that we're not likely to do very much business.
Okay.
I can only help somebody if I really understand their business. Okay, the marketing process, you've got to know their customer base very well. You've got to know information about them. You've got to know how they're going to market it. Yeah. Otherwise, all I'm really doing is just kind of referring A to B and let him do his own marketing process. Yeah. And sometimes I do that. Sometimes I kind of walk away and just say, hey, we'll just do a straight fee. I referred you to this customer here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just give me a finder's fee, and that's it.
Do you ask for the finder's fee? When do you ask for the finder's fee?
Well, what I do is I estimate what the value of that business contract is going to be worth. Yeah, that's the reason that what I do is research the size of the customer base, what percentage of that customer base is going to buy,
mm-hmm.
and how much money they're going to spend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what I typically do is what I try to do is try to do things where they've got effectively like an online store that's going through typically a credit card processing provider. Because those statements are very easy to provide.
Right.
Yeah, and you can't hide that information. Yeah?
Yeah.
So then I just simply have a contract that says through whatever is done through that store, okay, this percentage X is done for these products on an ongoing basis. Typically, I'll do it for a 12 months, and renewable thereafter.
Okay.
If you've got a good relationship with the entrepreneur, they're usually happy to have that happen. Because as far as you're concerned, you're saying somewhere in the region of, well, look, for every pound I put into your business, okay, would you have an issue with giving me, you know, a tenth of that back? Okay, this is a sound money for their business, okay? And usually they will spend so much time running their own business, they haven't even got time to sit down and think. Yeah?
Right.
And then obviously once you've got that going, you can introduce a third product, fourth product, and again that contract effectively covers it all.
Yeah, and I would think most people are pretty honest. You know, if you've got a gut feeling that someone's going to screw you, no matter what contract you have, they're going to screw you. But just use your intuition, and if you have a good feeling, it's, you know, they'd be stupid to try and...
Well, I think what I find is this, is if somebody wants to, quote, steal your idea, okay, they're going to figure it out. What you have to do is manage your greed. Now, if I say to you in the same contract, hey, is it all right if I do 50-50?
I want to thank you for listening. This is Michael Sinoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. If you want to get in touch with any of the people we interview, please email me at Michael@HardToFindSeminars.com. That's Michael@HardToFindSeminars.com. H-A-R-D as in dog, T-O-F-I-N-D-S-E-M-I-N-A-R-S. com. You can reach me by phone at 1-800-982-6487 or 858-274-7851. That's 1-800-982-6487 or 858-274-7851. And anyone listening, if they want to be interviewed, please contact me and give back to others. And thanks for listening.
Well.